Because a lot of people I think are afraid of it. They think it's come kind of like counseling, like I'm going to be digging into their background. You know, I got to know all the nitty gritty about what's going on. And actually, I don't need to, and I don't even want to. What's interesting with part of it, sometimes I need to know, or I can ask, even if I don't need to know, is how old you were when a certain event happened. And when I do that, it's really fun because the people, they don't remember it, that's okay. But if they do remember the event, they're like, oh yeah, I know exactly what was going on at that time.
Welcome to Gratitude Geek, the relationship marketing podcast, helping DIY marketers find your micro influencer magic so you attract raving fans and repeat buyers. I'm your host, Candice Rodarte, and today I'm joined by certified emotion coach practitioner, Cora Naylor. Cora is an emotion code practitioner, life coach, virtual co-working host, and the Crack the Code podcast host. As a personal development junkie and lifelong learner, Cora was eager to discover what was next for her after her kids left home. Although she had worked various traditional jobs and direct sales businesses, she never achieved the success she hoped for. And it wasn't until she worked with an emotion code practitioner that she realized her emotional baggage was holding her back. After cracking the code of her own emotions, she knew she could help other women do the same. Cora now guides women in easily releasing trapped emotions that contribute to negative self-talk, limiting beliefs, money blocks, fears, and anxiety in their business. Welcome, Cora.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me. Excited to be here.
So before we dig into it, because there's lots to dig into, tell us your story. How'd you get to where you are today?
Oh man, it's been a very long journey of exploration. Like I say, I got exposed to direct sales back in my early 20s, and that kind of set me on the direction of personal development and all that self-improvement kind of stuff. Over the years, like I say, worked lots of traditional jobs, did some direct sales, then I had kids. So things kind of slowed down a little bit, but I've always kind of been looking like, what am I going to do when I grow up? What do I really want to do? And it wasn't until my kids, you know, grow up and left home that I really started exploring into that again. And, you know, like I said, it just wasn't finding my place and getting the success that I wanted until I really got into myself and was able to release my baggage. And wasn't really bad baggage or anything like that, but it was enough for me that it was just really holding me back. I saw other people, you know, getting the accolades and having the success, and I just wasn't getting there.
So I worked with an emotional code practitioner years ago, and so I'm very familiar with the process. But for most people listening, they're like, what in the world is she talking about? So tell us about the whole emotion code
it's a process. It was developed by Dr. Bradley Nelson, who's a retired chiropractor out of Utah. So he put together a chart with 60 negative emotions on it. And what happens is you use muscle testing to chat with people to find out what their issues are and which ones of those emotions are causing their issue. And you use the process of muscle testing in order to find those emotions. And then you use a magnet to release those emotions out into the energy. And so that's kind of like, you know, when the magnetic strip off the back of your credit card dissipates. So that just dissipates the energy out and away from you.
60 different emotions, lots of different things going on there. What kinds of emotional baggage can you help eliminate? Because there's all sorts of different kinds.
Yeah. Generally, I work with women in business doing things like imposter syndrome, the emotions that are behind that, negative self-talk, because we often, you know, are not very nice to ourselves. And we say a lot of things that we would never say to other people. We're not very supportive of ourselves because our subconscious is really just trying to protect us. But by protecting us, it doesn't always allow us to grow. So we have to try and get through that stuff. Money blocks, that's another big one. All the stuff there.
Let's talk about that negative self-talk.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is the all the work that you've done, what do you think is the most common underlying cause of that? Because most of us have it.
Yeah, you know, and most of this stuff comes from very young, like under the age of 10. So it's either stuff that people have said to us or that we've just thought, or sometimes it's even inherited, and it can go back and inherit it from your mom or your dad and could go back multi-generational. So sometimes it's not even something you had control over, but often for whatever reason, it's, you know, something that happened. Like, I know for me personally, my parents split up when I was a kid, when I was, you know, about 8 years old. And for me, I just felt like if I could not be seen and just stay in the background, you know, nothing bad would happen. So I just kept all that stuff in there, and it pops out later when you're trying to do something else. So often with the emotional work, it's not something that's happening for the emotion from now. It's something that aggravates it now that's from a past event.
And before you started doing this work, did you identify that that was the pivotal moment in your life that was causing your negative self-talk? Or did you have to work with the practitioner to figure that out?
I kind of already knew that it had to be something around that. I mean, when I was a kid, I didn't even talk to my friends. I was so painfully shy. So it took a lot of work to get past that part of it. But I didn't really realize that I could even release it, because my subconscious blocked a lot of what happened in my past. And when I was doing my life coach training, for instance, and we were talking about emotions and, you know, say, oh, let's remember something from your past and let's dig in and let's release all that stuff. But I was like, I don't really remember a lot of things. I remembered good things, but the things that weren't so good, I didn't remember. So it was pretty hard to release something you don't remember. And that's one of the things I love about the emotion code, is you don't even have to remember the event or relive the event to be able to release the emotions around it.
Yeah, because the emotions don't have anything to do with the actual event.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what about generational emotions? I mean, I always think about this. My husband and I were actually driving in the car the other day, and he made a comment about how the houses on this particular street have been passed down from generation to generation. Like, the same family had owned the house for three generations. And so the people who lived in these big houses didn't necessarily work for them, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And that's the same way as emotions. You have emotions that you didn't earn, right? Yeah. So talk about that.
Yeah. And I mean, that's especially comes up, I find, with emotional eating, because there's so much emotion around food. And oftentimes that is prenatal or inherited. And it's for food cravings, especially, because there's so much socialness around eating. But then, you know, you think, oh, I gotta have these cookies for that. Because when you're a kid, it's like, oh, if you're a good boy or a good girl, we're going to give you a cookie or a snack. And you just associate eating with something good and warm and fuzzy. But it really comes back to something that's happened before you even knew anything about it.
It never even occurred to me before. It may have, but, you know, I'm over 50, so brain cells don't always necessarily work. Do you want to release that emotion for me? Thank you. No, but people my age, our grandparents went through the Great Depression, and many of them didn't have food. You know, they didn't have jobs. So I can see how that relationship with food can get passed down. I remember my grandmother scraping every last kernel of food. I mean, and this was the 80s. So we had plenty of food in the 80s, but she would scrape every last kernel of food out of a pan and put it away in, you know, to refrigerate it for leftovers for the next day. She would save every kernel of rice, every corn, anything, even a little piece of speckle of parsley went into that container to save the food for later. And so, yeah, it just didn't even occur to me until, well, like I said, that generational, you know, fear of not having enough food. Wow. Dig into that. I mean, that's just one thing. That's a whole generation of Americans, though.
Yeah. So, yeah. And it's, and often it's easy to release the emotions. Sometimes it's one or two emotions and you don't feel the need for it anymore. Like, I have a lady that I worked with, and she was addicted to Milk Duds. She could not walk into a store without buying Milk Duds. She has a lot of eating craving issues that were going on. And with one or two quick sentences and releasing a couple of emotions, she can now walk into a store, walk right past the milk duds, and not even feel like she's missing anything. Like, it doesn't even care anymore. Now, a lot of people think it's like a diet where you're not allowed to eat it anymore and you're just going to be dreaming about it. But when you can release the emotion that's around it, it's like you don't even care about it anymore. You can think about it, think, eh, whatever. Sometimes a little bit more if it's like chocolate or bread, because there's so many different kinds of things, but it's really interesting.
Well, and that's such a specific food. So there was probably a story. She mm-hmm. might not even remember the story that goes around, that goes along with the specific food.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's like, again, I'm a child of the 80s. It's like Reese's Pieces and popcorn. Yeah. Right? You can't have popcorn without Reese's Pieces if you're of a certain age.
Yeah, good combo. Yeah.
Yeah. But you can't even get those anymore. Never mind. And actually, that's not true, because you can have popcorn with it. But I'm just giving an example. Give some examples of who you've helped.
Like I say, mostly women. And another part of it, too, is just, you know, like with the emotions. So you can't just go through that chart and say, release all the emotions that are on the chart and you're done. Because each event that you have in your life has one or two or three emotions attached to it. So you have to release the emotion from each event. So what I find is really common is people have a handful of emotions that they have over and over again with different events. And then one of the other things that I release is called a heart wall. So with a heart wall, the emotions really trap around your heart. With sort of the regular emotions, we have them all over our body. So every time we have events that have happened in our life and we haven't processed the emotions, they get stored in our body like little balls of energy. And Dr. Brad Fingers, the average person has about 200 or 300 trapped emotions. So we got a lot of stuff going on in there. But one of them is also the wall around your heart. And so with that one, the relationships that you want just might not happen. Or maybe with women, they're going out with that same kind of guy that's just not the right guy because they have this wall. But one interesting story I have is with a lady who hadn't talked to her dad for a long time. And we released her heart wall. And now she has a relationship with her dad again. They talk almost every week. So it just can open that up. Or recently I did another lady whose son hadn't been living with her. He's a teenager, been living with more with his dad. She's been butting heads with him a lot. And since we released her heart wall with him and also his with her, because he's a minor, so I can do the work on him as well, just with the mom's permission. He's decided he wants to come home on the weekends more often. They're starting to have another relationship. So cool, really magical things can happen.
For the folks who are skeptical and they're like, oh my mm-hmm. God, it's a heebie-jeebie energy kind of thing. Yeah. Talk about the science behind it, because it was developed by a chiropractor. So there's some science behind this.
Yeah. And it's similar to almost like Chinese medicine sort of stuff. You almost like acupuncture, but not. But you know what? It's one of those things you got to try. Not everybody's going to be into it. And that's what I say, you know, for people, if you're looking for something alternative, because a lot of times, like with this, there you can use it for some pain relief. And some kind of times you go to the doctor and they can't figure out what's wrong with you. There might not be something physically wrong. It might be emotionally that that's why that pain in the neck is there, or that pain in your shoulder or hip, because there is an emotional component to it. But you got to be looking for something different. And there's a lot of modalities out there to help with that.
I was listening to a podcast the other day, and it was a woman who had been suicidal. She was miserable in her marriage. So she finally, after years, divorced him and then got into another relationship, and then found herself having the same issues with this new guy as she was having with her husband. And it just suddenly dawned on her that I'm the common denominator. Yeah. I'm the problem here. So that, to me, that seems like it's emotional baggage. Want to dig into that?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. That's really common in all kinds of things. I mean, like I was in direct sales and people keep jumping companies. Oh, this company's not good enough. This one's not good enough. This one's not good enough. What's the common denominator? Hello. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And that you see that a lot, folks that have either are in multiple companies or do skip from company to company. Interesting. And there's also the shiny object syndrome. Yeah,
totally.
Which is that, do you think that's emotional?
Totally. It could be. Yeah. There may be something that's happened in their past. Who knows? Because like I say, it's the, something's happening now to aggravate what happened in the past. Like recently I did worked with a client. She was freaking out because she had to go in for dental surgery, hates going to the dentist. When we released the emotions, it was actually something to do with her dad from when she was a kid.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that generational thing again.
Mm-hmm.
And how many generations back can this go?
It can go a long ways. I haven't had too many that have had, but I've heard of people going back 20 generations or more.
Wow.
I find most of the ones that I've worked with haven't been that far.
Yeah. So how can you help a coach with their coaching practice as an emotional code practitioner?
I'm like, sometimes, and I know I've been there myself, taking lots of courses, coaching programs, but still not really moving forward. That's what I find that's happened to me, and I know with other people. And so we keep trying to take the next course, take another course, and it's just not moving forward. So if we can help, and I do sometimes do this, where I'll go into somebody else's group or work with a coach, someone's coaching client, to release the emotion around whatever they're doing so that they can get over that hump and go on to whatever they want to do. Because sometimes we just block ourselves so badly. Our subconscious is holding on to that stuff really hard.
And that's a sign of a good coach, one who will bring someone else into the conversation. Mm-hmm. Not to say that I'm a great coach, but I am. But I'm an accountability coach. So I work with procrastination a lot, which is probably something you work with a lot. Mm-hmm. And I have found that clients that have a block that they're like trying to get past, you know, because accountability coaching is making you do something, right? Sometimes it hurts to do it. So you need to have somebody put a fire under your feet. So we basically do the same thing. You do yours through emotion and I do mine through tough love. Right.
Yeah.
And oftentimes they're like, well, this needs to be done. And yet I can't get to it. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to connect you with the person who will help you get this done. But you have to work with them and you have to do it because it's something that's preventing you from doing the next thing. So sometimes, you know, you have to pay a little extra. You're like, I hired you to be my coach. Yeah. But you're not doing the thing you hired me to do. So you have to work with this person to get so that we can move on to the next thing. And that good coaches do that. Bad coaches are like, I'm the only one who you need. Right. Yeah. And I'm all on board for, you know, if you hire me to be your accountability coach. Well, I love it when you have worked with somebody else first. And then you have goals that you set because you worked with that other person and you need to get those goals set. And then I hold you accountable. So working with somebody who's already worked with you, right?
Yeah.
Would be a great, you know, I would love to work with someone who's already been through you, worked with you and is now ready to get the work done that they wanted to get done, but the emotions were holding them back.
Totally. Yeah. And I mean, that's amazing. That's part of why I have a co-working group is to help people get that focus and get the procrastination released so they can do their work.
Okay. So talk about your co-working group. What's that like?
Yeah, I host a co-working group twice a month on the first and third Wednesday of each month from 9 to 11 Pacific for women. They come in, we do one quick round of networking, and then everyone shares what they're going to be working on. And it can be business related or self-care because we don't always plan for that stuff. And then I release any emotions they have that are blocking them or stopping them from whatever they want to work on. We go off camera and do the work. Then we come back and celebrate at the end, because when you work at home alone, no one ever tells you you're doing a good job.
I love that. And how long is it?
It's for 2 hours. So it's 9 till 11 Pacific twice a month.
Wow. Mm-hmm. What a great idea. And anybody can come and work on whatever they want to work on.
Exact.
So yeah. If somebody just needs to exercise, they can exercise.
Yeah.
I love it.
I had the idea to do the self-care part because one of the ladies I'd had on my podcast was a painter. She had all these amazing paintings in the background and she goes, yeah, I just never get around to doing it. And it's like, if you don't plan it, you're not going to do it. So that's why I added then the self-care part. And I actually had someone come in and do some decluttering in their living room for their session. So they actually showed us, took their camera and showed us around their living room before we went off, did it back. And then she showed us after. Because they get super focused during this time after we release some emotions.
I can't remember the name of the website. There's a website that you can schedule co-working sessions with one other person. You know that this is a, your piece is that you add the releasing the emotions before that you start the work. A suggestion that they have is that you leave your cameras on so you can see each other working. And I always thought that that was kind of interesting. I mean, I wouldn't want to leave my camera on if I was doing exercise or vacuuming or whatever. But I found that that was an interesting suggestion because it's a way to hold each other accountable. You know, you could see that somebody's doing something and you're like, hey, are you working? You said you're going to be working. Because it's in that group, it was only one other person was in the room with you, you know, in a Zoom thing. Or it might not have even been Zoom, but it was such an interesting concept. I don't even know if that website's still around. But this whole concept of working, co-working, you know, we're going to get this stuff done and then hold each other accountable for the work. I just love this concept. So how do people plug into that if they want to do that with you?
Yeah, they can go to my website, coranaylor.com under events, and they can schedule it right onto their calendar from there.
And what do you charge for it?
It's free.
That's, you do that for free? Freebie.
Yeah. So you can get a little taste of how the emotion code works by doing that. Because a lot of people, I think, are afraid of it. They think it's come kind of like counseling, like I'm going to be digging into their background. You know, I got to know all the nitty gritty about what's going on. And actually, I don't need to. And I don't even want to.
Yeah.
What's interesting with part of it, sometimes I need to know, or I can ask, even if I don't need to know, is how old you were when a certain event happened. And when I do that, it's really fun because the people, they don't remember it, that's okay. But if they do remember the event, they're like, oh yeah, I know exactly what was going on at that time.
Yeah. And it's true. Cause my friend who is also an emotion code practitioner, I once caught her releasing an emotion from me while I was presenting in front of a group of women, and I saw her doing her little thing with her hand, and I sort of laughed at myself because I knew what she was doing, and then I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I must be nervous or something, so I laughed at myself, and then it changed the way I presented. So yeah, she didn't even ask for my permission. She just did it, but we were friends.
She had your permission anyways. Yeah. And most people say they feel lighter. They can almost feel the weight lifting right away when it's happening. Sometimes you have to wait and process there is some processing to do. But I've also been experimenting with doing it going forward. So for example, for myself, I'll check my calendar every day and see what events I have coming up. And I'll see if I have a heart wall or any emotions that are blocking potential meetings or speaking events or whatever I'm going to. I'm releasing those before they happen. So there's just better energy.
Okay. So that, I mean, this is, you're certified to do this, but for somebody who has an emotional, you know, they want to throw up in their mouth because they booked themselves as a guest on a podcast, what are some things that they can do for themselves?
Yeah. Well, you can actually read the book, grab the book, The Emotion Code, get a magnet, and it can be any kind of magnet. It doesn't have to be anything fancy. It can be even a fridge magnet. The chart's in there, or you can Google the chart, and you can learn how to do the work yourself. Dr. Brad just wants people to get certified if they're doing it as a business, because you go a little bit more into depth and that way.
So when a client works with you, do you teach them how to release an emotion so that they can do the work later?
No, we're not really supposed to be teaching people how to do it, although you can learn to do it yourself. And you can do it on other people, even after reading the book, do it on other people. You can use it on animals as well as people.
Just don't charge anybody.
Yeah, it's just for
fun. Which is totally fair. I mean, anybody can read any book. I have a whole pile of marketing books that I learned from, right? Yeah. You know, and try to incorporate into my own life. So yeah, I love it. So what are some of the, so the book is called, repeat the name of the title of the book and who the author is.
Yeah. The book is called The Emotion Code by Dr. Bradley Nelson.
And what's the purpose of the magnet?
The magnet is to release the emotions. So you're going to swipe over your head 3 times. That takes it over the governing meridian, which goes from the tip of your nose down the back of your spine. So as long as you swipe anywhere along there, that's what dissipates the energy and releases the emotion.
And the meridians, that comes from Eastern medicine. Do you know what meridians are?
What's that?
Can you dig into what meridians are for the for those of us who are Western medicine?
Yeah, I actually don't get into it a lot, but I know it is part of the Chinese medicine and like reflex
acupuncture.
That's the one. Okay. Yeah.
So you're basically just your focus is on one meridian, and that's your thing. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool beans. This is something you can do virtually. It doesn't have to be in person.
For sure. I actually don't even need to talk to the person as long as I have their permission. We don't have to be together at all. It's just energy, because energy is everywhere. And as long as you're setting that intention, you can do it yourself.
Energy is everywhere. What is the name of that movie? Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. Everything.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's energy. Okay. I also heard a definition of energy that was energy is everything, everywhere, all at once, right? So that's not the definition, but there was another definition of what energy is. And then the person speaking said, and I think it might have been John Assaraf, but then he said, well, what is God? God is everything, everywhere, all at once. So so for those of you who have that skeptical thing, and just, you can use different languages, you can use different definitions, different words to describe the same thing.
Yeah.
So energy is just it's a good, very simple, basic word, because even though energy is really hard to understand, it's something that we all know.
Yeah.
We all know, we can all feel it. I mean, you can feel the energy. You can feel the energy in a room when something good's happening, and you can feel the energy in a room when something bad's happening. Mm-hmm. You can feel the energy. I mean, energy is something you can totally feel. Are there any folks that can't feel it? Is there?
Probably, but it's one of those things. It's like, you know, listening to your intuition. I mean, you know, afterwards you think, oh man, I should have listened to myself. You know, we had that years ago. I had a renter, you know, said she wasn't a smoker, and I always had a feeling that she was, and I knew she did. But, you know, you don't always listen to yourself.
Yeah.
And you can practice that, and you can make that skill better. I think we all have it in us to do it. We just don't always listen to it.
Well, smoking, you can tell someone's a smoker because their apartment smells.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You can't really hide it.
Yeah. That one's hard to hide. So is there anything else you want to talk about?
Wasn't thinking about it. I think I've covered most of the things.
Well, how do you,
unless you want to ask some questions.
Well, yeah. Let's talk about marketing and your energy. So, how can what you do help someone with their marketing?
So many things. So first off, it could be creativity or procrastinating doing something. We can release a common emotion around a block. You know, you're trying to do writer's block and get creative. It's creative insecurity. And we release that just to get the juices flowing. If you're trying to write some copy or, you know, do something for yourself, or procrastinating doing something we need to do, because we all put things off. I know social media is not always my favorite thing to do. It's, you know, it's like shut down. And when you can release that creative insecurity, that can just be the boost you need to get going and doing some stuff. Or it could be self-abuse, because you're doing that negative self-talk, and self-abuse is the emotion that's around that. So if you have, you're procrastinating, or you're kind of doing the negative self-talk, you can release those yourself. Just grab a magnet and set that intention that you want to release creative insecurity, and just swipe that magnet over your head 3 times, or for the negative self-talk as well. Yeah.
So let's go over this again. You're feeling like you can't get something done because you don't feel like you can do it. You say, I release this negative emotion. And then you swipe the magnet over your head 3 times. How big does the magnet have to be?
It doesn't have to be big. It can be any size, any shape, anything. Yeah.
I got a magnet right here.
Yeah.
Wait, is this the magnet, or is this the magnet? This is the magnet. All right. So let's do an example. I don't have an emotion right now.
What do you got coming up today? We can do something.
When I'm done with you, I'm done with the day. Oh, I have to make the bed. Oh, okay. I got it.
Hey,
I really, cause we the sheets, I really, okay. So I'm, what do I feel? I just don't like doing the chore of making the sheets are clean. They're on the bed. They just need to be put back on the bed. So, And it's just one of those, your least favorite chores, right? Cause we have a king size bed. So I love making a bed, or can I say that?
Or you can just say, do I have any creative insecurity around making my bed today?
Do I have any creative insecurity about making my bed today and then put the
night
in?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're learning as we go, listener. Yeah. Do I have any creative insecurity about making my bed today?
We didn't have to test for it, but you can just say, my intention is to release that.
Oh, my intention. Okay. Then you say my intention. See, I'm not following along.
I do. I do it a little bit different. So yeah.
You have to listen. Okay. My intention is to release that.
Yeah.
Did I do it right?
We'll see. Yeah. There's no reading right or wrong. It's pretty straightforward. Yeah. But it'll be interesting to see how you feel about it now after when you go make your bed.
But so oh my God, that is a great activity, like people who have their least favorite job that they do we're all self-employed. Mm-hmm. Everybody listening to this has their own business. So everybody has the thing that they don't like to do. Like, I don't like to do the bookkeeping, right?
Yeah.
If you go through that activity, do I have any emotional, creative, stuff that is preventing me from doing this thing that any, just go, whatever. Let's go through the question again.
Yeah.
So what is the question that you ask yourself again?
Well, normally, if I'm doing it on myself or somebody else, I'm doing it as a proxy. So if I'm a proxy for you, I would be connecting to your subconscious using muscle testing. And that's how I ask the questions to find out what, if it's other emotions. So, I would say, is there some trapped emotions that are causing that? Now, if people don't know what muscle testing is, you can go online, you can go on YouTube and look up muscle testing, because it's a really cool thing for talking to your subconscious and asking yes and no answer questions. You can't predict things with it, but you can use it for this instance. I do what's called like the ring method. So when I'm asking the question, if it stays tight, it's a yes. And if it slips through, it's a no. So if I was working with you and saying, do you have any trapped emotions that are causing you to, not like making the bed? I'll say yes. Oh, okay. And then I'll say, okay, is it in column A or B? Because the chart's written down into two columns, A and B, and then six rows. So I can narrow it down and ask how many emotions are on there, which ones they are, and then swipe them away. So
that's with when you're working with you, but if you're doing it for yourself, you can still do the ring method.
Yep. You can do it for yourself. I work for myself or someone else, the same thing.
I'll find a really good tutorial video and I'll put it in the show notes, guys. So if you want to see the tutorial on how the muscle testing works, I'll put that. I'll find a good video for that. I'll do the work for you. So
I also have a video on my website where I explain the process.
Well, then that's not the video I'll link to.
Yeah. That's not necessarily muscle testing, but I have muscle testing in there and I just explain the whole emotion code process, how we do it.
Okay. We'll put that in the show notes. So how do you, because this is a relatively new business for yourself. Mm-hmm. So when did you launch it?
I launched it just over a year ago. I learned how to do the emotion code a few years ago, but I just decided to do it as a business just over a year ago.
So how have you been marketing?
By networking. I do a lot of networking in groups. I belong to a number of different women's groups. So sometimes speaking in the different groups and just meeting people and, spreading the word that way.
And that's it? Just networking?
So far. Got to do more. Obviously, I want to get more into social media creation and all of that, but one step at a time.
So. Do you think you need it, or is networking?
I do need it. Yeah.
Okay.
I do need it.
I find that networking is the best way to find new clients. I mean, I just, the more I network, the less I social media.
Yeah. Well, I want to get someone else to do that part.
Yeah, that's good.
Not my love.
I just, people hear marketing because I talk about marketing a lot and people think, oh, that's social media. No, no, it's not. You don't need to even use social media to market, and networking is a fantastic way. What day is today? Is it Wednesday? Yeah. So it was yesterday that this happened. So yesterday I attended a meeting and a networking event. And right after the event ended, I got a phone call from someone who had been there who said, I need to hire you. And then 2 hours later, I got a text message from someone who said, I need to hire you from a networking meeting. So there was no social media involved in that. right? There's no social media. So you don't need to have social media. You can. And it really, because you have a very specific niche. Mm-hmm. Your business is very specific, and there's a group of people who are going to be really on board with it and are going to love it. And then there's another group of people who are going to think that you're the devil, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, and that's great, because I recently heard my friend Yvette actually just said that if people aren't saying heck no to your offer, then that means that people aren't saying heck yes. So you really do want to make your offer something that repels as much as it attracts. Because when it repels, that means good. I don't have to market to them. I can market to the people who heck yes it, right? And right. You want to get to that heck yes, but until you can get to the heck yes, you need the heck no. Anyway, you have one of those services that you're going to get a lot of heck no's, which is excellent. Mm-hmm. Excellent. So where was I going with that? I get really excited about stuff.
Yeah, it's awesome. Well, we were talking about marketing and marketing. Yeah. Like you say, because that's the thing. Most people, okay, so you get into it, but then you don't really know the marketing component. Mm-hmm. You know what you're doing, and it's figuring out what's going to work. So that's awesome.
I just am a huge fan of referrals, and you get to know people really well. I mean, you and I met through a referral. We have a mutual friend, and our mutual friend said, "Hey, you need to be on Candace's show." And she was right. So, I mean, that's just the best to me. That's the best way. So do you have a podcast? Tell me about your podcast.
Yeah. My podcast is called Crack the Code. And on there, I interview women that have either gone through challenges and or started something in midlife or later, because it's never too late. I'm going to be 60 this year. And I hear a lot of women say, I'm getting too old. I can't do this, can't do that. And it's like, you know, if you want to, you can. So you can use it as an excuse or a reason. Pick your poison. It's fun to listen to everyone's stories.
I like the whole concept of, I'm 60. There's so many more things I can do now. Because women really do get better with age.
Yeah.
I mean, we just keep blooming and blossoming and getting better and better and better. Because we know more, we can help more people. So yeah. I'm all for, now what can I do? I can learn something new now, or I learned something new. Now I can do something with what I learned, you know, and you just keep getting better and better.
Yeah. You know? Well, we have more wisdom and we have more time. We can really focus on us, because we've raised our kids and we know all that stuff, and we kind of know more who we are and where we want to go. So it's fun to explore that.
So did you start your podcast before or after you started your business?
I started that just in October as well. So it's all kind of all in the same time. Let's go for it.
Which is a great way to launch a business, to add that podcasting piece, because podcasting, one, is a great way to meet people. Mm-hmm. And number two, it's a great way to get your voice out to people who might not, you know, because people can find you. Even podcasts that rank really, really low can be found by people who are looking for them. So it's a great marketing tool. And obviously you guest on other people's shows too. Do you have a strategy for that?
I just attend some podcasting groups that I belong to, like the podcast school that I went to. She has a group that meets once a month and in a couple of mixers, and through networking again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is an excellent business model for her, because she is a podcast school. So do you want to give a shout out to the school?
Yeah, it's called She's Invincible.
She's Invincible.
Cammie Lehman. Yeah.
Okay. I've met her. You know, that she's added that piece, that networking component, to her product offering. And it's a great way for her clients to meet each other and for her to meet new people. Because as you go to these events, you might want to invite other people. So, and I have been to one of those podcasting networking events. So she does a nice job. Yeah. How did I meet her? I met her through, I know, this is so funny. So Vinny Podestivo, who was a guest on an earlier episode on the show, he introduced me to Cammie. And around the same day, like within 24 hours, our mutual friend, Michelle Salini Shavato, who's also been a guest on the show, told me about Cammie as well. I was like, well, since two people told me about Cammie at the same time, maybe I need to meet her.
Michelle and I went to podcast school together.
She is, I told you earlier, she's one of my favorite people in the whole wide world. Okay, so we've talked about your favorite marketing tool, which is podcasting. And I love the concept of your co-working hour. That's so fabulous. Is there anything else you want to add to that?
No, I think that's pretty good. I think that's good.
Okay, then it's time for your moment of gratitude. Okay. All right, so for whom or what are you most grateful?
I am most grateful to my husband. Oh, I'm getting emotional now. We are going to be married 37 years next week. And he's been so supportive of all my crazy ideas over the years. So I am very grateful for him.
Thanks for tuning in to Gratitude Geek, the relationship marketing podcast that helps DIY marketers attract raving fans and repeat buyers. Be sure to visit gratitudegeek.com for today's show notes, where you can find links to all the groovy resources we've mentioned, including ways to connect with our guest, Cora Naylor. If you love this episode, don't forget to subscribe and leave a review on Audible, iTunes, Good Pods, or your favorite podcast player so you never miss an episode. Our theme music is Track 14 by Rev Brock and Solily. I'm your host, Candice Ridardi, reminding you that gratitude is like manure. It's just a pile of poo until you spread it around. Stay groovy, my friends.
Stay groovy, my friends.